Lawson. Appreciate that. I want to ask for your prayers today. I want to share a scripture reading with you from the book of Esther. If you have your Bibles today and would like to read with me, I'll ask you to turn to the book of Esther, and going to read the fourth chapter of that book for a scripture reading. The fourth chapter of Esther contains 17 verses, and I want to read the chapter in its entirety today. Esther chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud voice and a bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make requests before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there was one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. And as I said, that's reading the fourth chapter of the book of Esther for a scripture lesson today. And I want to use these words for a title of the message today, and that being, "As We Have opportunity. And we find those words recorded in the sixth chapter of Galatians, in the 10th verse, in Paul's writing to the Galatians, in Galatians 6 and 10, he said, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And so I want you to think with me, as we have opportunity. Now, I know that all of you that are Bible students, all of you that have studied the book of Esther are aware of the fact that some question the authenticity or the validity of the book of Esther because it doesn't talk about God by name. But when you study the book of Esther, certainly you can see God in these matters, and you can see the providence of God. And I believe that, you know, that God through his providence, and we have, you know, various accounts of this throughout the Bible, but God in his providence from time to time, he will place somebody in a position where they're going to have opportunity to do something that will be beneficial not only to the glory of God, but beneficial in helping the people of God. And, you know, that's one of the great attributes of God and one of the great characteristics of the God that we serve, as we've been, you know, told this morning. Let's serve our God. Let's serve this powerful God that we know. And one of the great things about God is that he can look, you know, all across time. I mean, he can look well into the future. And we can't, but God can. And he knows what's ahead. And he knows how to, you know, put things in place. And he knows how to place people in certain positions, you know, where he's going to use that person, you know, down the road. And I think that, you know, regardless of the circumstances that surrounded Joseph being in Egypt in the position that he was, I mean, you know, we can go back and we can read how that he was done so wrong by his family, how that his brethren, you know, just did him so wrong, how that at such a young age they took him and they, you know, they cast him into that pit and they sold him to those Ishmaelites there, and how that he was, you know, taken into Egypt and they went and lied to his father. And I mean, they just really did some evil things with Joseph. But it's obvious when you study the life of Joseph that God was directing providence in his life and placing him in a position where he was going to need for him to be later on. And you know, years down the road after that happened, you know, when Joseph had the opportunity, he even told his brethren, he said, "You know, what you did to me, you intended it for evil, but God used it for good." And God, you know, it amazes me how that sometimes that God can take things that men do that are even not right, and he can turn them around and he can use those things to do good things and accomplish good things with them. And he did that in, you know, the life of Joseph. And I'm convinced that the Lord, and you can go back, and I would encourage you to do that if you haven't done it. You can go back and you can read the first three chapters of the book of Esther leading up to this, and you can read the account of how it was that she came to be the queen. And I'm convinced that too was under the direction of God's providence, that he had, you know, placed her in this position that he was going to be able to use her. Now, you know, because of Haman's hatred for Mordecai, the Jewish people, these post-exile Jews at this time, they were in a, you know, they were in a pretty dangerous situation. You know, things were not real well with them. And here we find, and you know, I believe Mordecai was a very spiritual man. He was able, you know, he was able to see, it seems to me, that he was able to see. He had some spiritual perception of what it was that God was actually doing with Esther. And he wanted her to step up to the plate. Now, you know, listen, I want you to think about this, because this is one of the things that I wanted to try to, or perhaps the main point that I wanted to try to bring out today, and that is that as we have opportunity, the question is, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to, you know, be willing to be used of God? Are we going to put ourselves out there? I'm afraid sometimes that we, you know, perhaps we might shy away from the things of God because we know that it's going to require something of us. And, you know, nobody has ever been able to really serve God without sacrifice. But I think sometimes, and perhaps more and more all the time, we live in a day when we want to do that. I don't mind doing something as long as it don't cost me anything. You know, as long as it doesn't take up time that I want to do something else with. And so, you know, there is and always has been a certain amount of sacrifice that is involved in being a servant of the Lord. And so when we are given these opportunities, you know, oftentimes then it's up to us how we are going to use that. And, you know, we have a situation here where I love what, you know, what Mordecai said to Esther when he said, who knows? You know, who knows if you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And so, as I said, it seems that he had some spiritual insight into this and a spiritual perception of what God was going to do with Esther, you know, how that he had made it possible for her to become the queen and to be put in a position to speak up for her people. And so, you know, it seems that perhaps from what we read that she was wavering. You know, she was uncertain about this. She was kind of waffling on this issue. And Mordecai, too, there again, he was able to, you know, to see that. And from the things that she said, he was able to understand that, you know, well, she's evidently not sold out to this idea of you know, of being a mouthpiece, of going to the king and being a mouthpiece for the Jews and speaking up for us. And so Mordecai made it known to her. He said, listen, you know, if you hold your peace, God can get this done and will get this done another way. I mean, he was obviously a man of faith as well. He believed that God was going to give deliverance to the Jews. He said, if you altogether hold your peace, then there shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. And the things that God gives us opportunity to do, if we fail the Lord in that, it doesn't mean that God won't get it done. It doesn't mean that he won't use someone else and some other means to get it done. But I'll tell you what it does mean. It means that we're going to miss the blessing that God has for us in that. And also, not only that, but also Mordecai made it known unto her that, you know, you don't need to be thinking that just because you're in the position that you're in, that you have a safe haven here. You don't need to be thinking that, you know, if you fail the Lord in this, you don't need to think that there can't be danger come upon you and upon your house just because you're in the palace of the king. And so, you know, it was time for her. It was time for her to be used of God and to take advantage of the opportunity that the Lord had given to her. And, you know, I'm convinced that God opens doors for us. That he opens doors and he places before us opportunities. God wants us as his people. He wants us to serve him, and he wants us to have success, and he wants us to be successful in the work of the Lord. And we can't do that without God. We can't do that without them. We know that. God knows that. And he opens doors before us, and he places us from time to time in a position, and he gives us the opportunity to be of use to him, to be of value to him, to benefit his cause. He did that with Joseph. He did that with Esther. He did that with Moses. He did it with Abraham, and on and on. And we can see God directing the lives of people and placing them where he wanted them to be. And I'm convinced that one day, perhaps by and by, when we are able to have a fuller understanding of things one day, perhaps we'll see better the hand of God upon our lives and the things that he did with us, and perhaps things that we think, that we might think as we pass through this life, things that we might sometimes think of as being a chance encounter, well, they were not that at all. They were things wrought by God's providential care and assembling together of things in our lives. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And the Bible tells us that in the third proverb, that if we will acknowledge the Lord, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and what will God do? Direct your paths. If we won't trust in our own ways and in ourselves, but in all our ways, if we acknowledge the Lord, he will direct our paths. We read about, you know, I believe that in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, where we have record of the Good Samaritan, that parable, that was about opportunity. Here was a man that was a Jew. When this Pharisaic lawyer came to Jesus tempting him, and he asked him, you know, about the great commandment and how that, you know, it was the first and great commandment is loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second, commandment is like unto it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this man, you know, he asked the question, well, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus gives him the parable there of the Good Samaritan. Well, the priest, he had opportunity. You know, as he passed by and he saw that man, the priest had opportunity, but he passed by on the other side. The Levite, he had opportunity, but he passed by on the other side as well. And then the Samaritan, the stranger, helped this man. And so, you know, I believe that we can see in that we do, from time to time, I mean, we do have opportunity. But the question is, what will we do with it? The things that God places upon our heart from time to time. And we need to look, I believe, at these things in this way, that when the Lord moves upon us, when he leads us and directs us by his Spirit, that he's giving to us opportunity. And, it's a blessing to have the opportunities from time to time that we have to serve the Lord and to honor him. I'm thankful for those today that testified. And, you know, when the Lord's Spirit prompts that in us, when he moves upon us and prompts us to testify, is he not granting us the opportunity to share with others what he has done for us, to share with others how that God has blessed our lives, and to give us the opportunity to somehow, with perhaps just a few words that we might speak for the Lord, to grant us the opportunity, somehow I really can't think of a whole lot of other things that would be any better for us when we reach the end of the day today than for us as God's people to be able to say, you know, I thank the Lord that he gave me the opportunity today to somehow be used to bring honor and glory to his name. It's just not, you know, the things that the Lord places up on our heart, it's not just for our benefit. It's for his honor and his glory. He didn't place Joseph in that position that he placed him in Egypt so that we could one day brag and boast about Joseph. He didn't place Esther in the position that he had placed her in so that we could one day brag about Esther, but these things that God does as he gives us opportunity from time to time, God makes ways that we might be able to bring honor and glory to the one that's worthy of our praise and worthy of our service. Well, I want to speak for a moment about the opportunity that you have if you're lost. If you're lost and you are without the Lord. And God help you not to squander and throw away that opportunity. I want you to remember something. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen something advertised? And of course you have. How could you avoid it? I mean, you know what? When people advertise something, there's a slogan that they use real often. They're going to tell you how good a deal that this is. You know, you've got an opportunity to have this product, and it is so cheap right now. I mean, we've got it on sale. In fact, if you move right now, you can get two for the price of one. I mean, they really build it up, don't they? But they've got this slogan they always use. This is a limited opportunity. You know, you need to buy this now. They're trying to prompt the, an impromptu type purchase. And so they say, you need to buy this now. But they say, this is a limited opportunity. Well, folks, listen. The salvation of your soul is a limited opportunity. It's limited. This opportunity that you have before you right now, here today, it's not going to last forever. And it's so important what you do with it. It is the most important thing in your life is what you do with the opportunity that the Lord gives you to be saved. And I read something again this morning, and I've read it many times, and every time I've read it, it brings a sadness to my heart when I read about this man that we find recorded in the 24th chapter of Acts by the name of Felix. And here the Apostle Paul was before this man, and the Bible tells us that he was reasoning with this man. He reasoned with him of righteousness, of temperance, and of judgment to come. And when Paul did that, the Spirit of God obviously accompanied those things that Paul was saying to him. I'm telling you, there was power in those words. There was power in that as Paul was reasoning with this man about his spiritual condition, because the Bible says that Felix trembled. God had a hold of that man. God was dealing with that man. God was making those words, the gospel that Paul was sharing with him, effective in his heart, and it caused him to tremble. Oh, what a great opportunity that he had in that moment to turn to the Lord and to seek the Lord and to be saved and have eternal life. But what did he do? He said to Paul, he said, go thy way, go thy way. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you. Well, I mean, to the best of my knowledge, he never got saved. We have no account of him ever getting saved. But I'm going to tell you what, right there, right in that moment, that which we have recorded in the 24th chapter of Acts tells us that right there in that moment, he had great and grand opportunity to turn to the Lord for the salvation of his soul, and yet he pushed it away. And I fear that down through the ages of time that there have been far too many people that have done that very thing. I'm afraid that there have been far too many situations with the people of God that we had opportunity to glorify God. We had opportunity to be a help to somebody in some way. And yet for one reason or another, we pushed it away and we neglected that opportunity and it passed us by. And I'm afraid that there have been far too many people that realized that they were lost, just like Felix did, that trembled under the power of God and the conviction of soul and pushed away the opportunity and ended up dying and going to hell because they forsook the opportunity that God gave to them to be saved. You know what we need to do? We need to get ourselves out of the way. We need to realize that these things are about God. In the 26th chapter of Acts, we have an account of another man that Paul talked to, King Agrippa. King Agrippa had a great opportunity, but as close as he got was close enough to make the confession to Paul. Well, almost, you persuaded me to be a Christian. Well, almost isn't good enough. Almost convinced is all the way lost. And he had great opportunity. In the, in the 8th chapter of Jeremiah, in the 20th verse, we have there, I believe it speaks about those who give up opportunity. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Why? Because they did not take advantage of the opportunity that they had. We use that scripture a lot of times, maybe when a revival is closing and perhaps, people have, shunned the Lord and haven't been saved. But I'm telling you what, that's a lot more serious than just having passed through a revival meeting. That's talking about the great and final end when people have to say the opportunities are all gone and we are still not saved. You know, God's mercy won't be offered forever. I've been in revival this week where there was a couple of people that were lost. And we had, good spiritual services. And you know what? They had opportunity. They had the opportunity to turn to the Lord. And they haven't. I pray that they will. But I'm telling you, the day's coming when the opportunity won't be afforded anymore. The harvest will be past. The summer will be ended. The opportunities will be gone. Do you know that when they crucified Jesus, they crucified him between two thieves, one on each side? Do you know they both had the same opportunity, didn't they? I mean, they were both right there in the presence of Jesus Christ. They both had the opportunity in the last moments of their life to turn to him and to beg him for forgiveness and to beg him for salvation. And thank God one of them did. But there was one of them that was just mocking him and reviling him and disbelieving him to the detriment of the destruction of his eternal soul. And the other one, even rebuked that thief and said, "Do you not fear God, seeing that we are in the same condemnation?" And he turned to Jesus and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus assured him, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." Both of those men had the opportunity to hear that from Jesus. Well, I tell you what, that other thief, if he would have done the same thing, if he would have turned to the Lord and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," he would have been saved too. But he pushed away that last opportunity that he had to be saved, to make things right with God. And he died lost and without him. I don't know what everybody thinks, but I'm convinced that there's not going to be anybody to ever live that will not have opportunity. I don't believe there will ever be anybody that will be able to stand before the Lord in judgment and say, "You can't condemn me. I never had opportunity." I'm convinced that God will grant opportunity to everybody. Everybody. To be saved. But what we do with it, what we do with it, is what will make the difference. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let's take advantage of it. If you're here today and you're lost and you have this opportunity to seek God and be saved, take advantage of it. If you're here today and you're saved, God is knocking on your heart, leading you, directing you, take advantage of it. Take advantage of the opportunity that God is giving you today to serve him. I'm glad that Esther finally did what she did. But you know what? She was just about to miss the opportunity. She was just about to miss out on what God had placed her there for. And it's so easy for us to do that. It's so easy for us to talk ourselves out of it or let somebody else talk us out of it and miss out on the opportunity that God gives to us. I'd like for us to have a song. I believe that when we come together like this and the Word of God is preached and praying people are together and God is being praised, that it makes an environment that gives great opportunity to people to turn to the Lord. I wonder today who will take advantage of that opportunity and seek the Lord for salvation. Let's stand and let's sing. I appreciate your attention.
185.